We'll wait for you, man. Don't worry. All right, Leviticus chapter 4, the law of sin offerings. The law of sin offerings. Let's read. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, if a person sins unintentionally in any of the things which the Lord has commanded not to be done and commits any of them, if the anointed priest sins so as to bring guilt on the people, then let him offer to the Lord a bull without defect as a sin offering for the sin he has committed. And he shall bring the bull to the doorway of the tent of meeting before the Lord, and he shall lay his hands on the head of the bull and slay the bull before the Lord. Then the anointed priest is to take some of the blood of the bull and bring it to the tent of meeting, and the priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle some of the blood seven times before the Lord in front of the veil of the sanctuary. The priest shall also put some of the blood on the horns of the altar of fragrant incense, which is before the Lord in the tent of meeting, and all the blood of the bull he shall pour out at the base of the altar of burnt offering, which is at the doorway of the tent of meeting. He shall remove from it all the fat of the bull of the sin offering, the fat which covers the entrails, and all the fat which is on the entrails, the two kidneys with the fat that is on them, which is on the loins, and the lobe of the liver, which shall remove with the kidneys. Just as removed from the ox of the sacrifice of peace offerings. And the priest is to offer them up in smoke on the altar of burnt offering. But the hide of the bull and all its flesh, with its head, its legs, and its entrails, and its refuse, that is all the rest of the bull, he is to bring out to a clean place outside the camp where the ashes are poured out, and burn it on wood with fire where the ashes are poured out. It shall be burned. Now if the whole congregation of Israel commits error, and the matter escapes the notice of the assembly, and they commit any of these things that the Lord has commanded not to be done, and they become guilty, when the sin which they have committed becomes known, then the assembly shall offer a bull of the herd for a sin offering and bring it before the tent of meeting. Then the elders of the congregation shall lay their hands on the head of the bull before the Lord, and the bull shall be slain before the Lord. Then the anointed priest is to bring some of the blood of the bull to the tent of meeting, and the priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle it seven times before the Lord in front of the veil. And he shall put some of the blood on the horns of the altar, which is before the Lord in the tent of meeting, and all the blood he shall pour out at the base of the altar of burnt offering, which is at the doorway of the tent of meeting. And he shall remove all its fat from it offered up in smoke on the altar, and he shall also do with the bull just as he did with the bull of the sin offering. Thus he shall do with it, so the priest shall make atonement for them, and they shall be forgiven. Then he is to bring out the bull to a place outside the camp and burn it, as he burned the first bull, as a sin offering for the assembly. When a leader sins and unintentionally does any of all the things which the Lord God has commanded not to be done, and he becomes guilty, if his sin which he has committed is made known to him, he shall bring for his offering a goat, a male without defect, and he shall lay his hand on the head of the male goat and slay it in the place where they slay the burnt offering before the Lord. It is a sin offering. Then the priest is to take some of the blood of the sin offering with his finger, put on the horns of the altar of burnt offering, and the rest of its blood he shall pour out at the base of the altar of burnt offering. And all its fat he shall offer up in smoke on the altar, as in the case of the fat of the sacrifice of peace offerings. Thus the priest shall make atonement for him in regard to his sin, and he shall be forgiven. Now if any one of the common people sins unintentionally in doing any of the things which the Lord has commanded not to be done and becomes guilty, if his sin which he has committed is made known to him, he shall bring for his offering a goat, a female without defect, for his sin which he has committed, and he shall lay his hand on the head of the sin offering, slay the sin offering at the place of the burnt offering, and the priest shall take some of its blood with his finger, put on the horns of the altar of burnt offering, and all the rest of its blood he shall pour out at the base of the altar. Then he shall remove all its fat, just as the fat was removed from the sacrifice of the peace offerings, and the priest shall offer it up in smoke on the altar for a soothing aroma to the Lord. Thus the priest shall make atonement for him, and he shall be forgiven. But if he brings a lamb as his offering for a sin offering, he is to bring it, a female without defect. He lay his hand on the head of the sin offering, and slay it for a sin offering in the place where they slay the burnt offering. And the priest is to take some of the blood of the sin offering with his finger, put on the horns of the altar of burnt offering, and all the rest of the blood he shall pour out at the base of the altar. Then he shall remove all its fat, just as the fat of the lamb is removed from the sacrifice of the peace offerings, and the priest shall offer them up in smoke on the altar, on the offerings by fire to the Lord. Thus the priest shall make atonement for him in regard to his sin he has committed, and he shall be forgiven. Amen. Okay. Let's go through this. This is we read peace offerings, sin offerings, guilt offerings. sin offering becomes very, very serious, and there's a few moments, and I'll explain the seriousness of this. First of all, the sin offering deals with an unintentional sin. In other words, a sin that we have committed that we didn't know that either we committed it or you may not know it was a sin. And so you're dealing with now with this issue of sins of ignorance, okay? Sins that are that you willfully know, it's a whole different matter altogether. And that you just shouldn't do to begin with. That is just rebellion. And so that's not necessarily what we're talking about here, okay? So a few things about the sin offering. The sin offering here is unintentional. The person's sin, and it becomes known to that person. And so it is a revelation in some way. So this is not a general offering for general sin. It's not like we say, oh, Lord, we sinned. No, this is specific sin that you become aware of, you know, either by someone showing you or you're enlightened by the Holy Spirit. But the key to this is really understanding what the purpose of this is. Now, let me give you an illustration here to help you understand. If we, if you end up taking a very late flight, they give you a lunchbox on the flight, okay? And it's usually a box. It's got some food in it, but in a paper box. How many guys, when you're eating your food, you discard all the food, but yet you only eat the box? It'd be like having a sack lunch, and in the sack lunch, you actually throw away all the food and you just eat the paper bag. No one does that. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. But what we're seeing here is when we talk about this offering of sin, that's precisely what God is asking them to do. He's asking them to throw away all the good stuff, the meat, the hide, everything that's useful, and just pour out the blood and the fat that you don't eat that's of no use, and you burn that up before the Lord. Now, what is God trying to say through this? Which really goes into a foreshadowing of the New Testament, really the foreshadowing of Christ. Let me just say it in one phrase, and you guys may be very familiar with this phrase. Only the blood. Say it. Only the blood. The only thing that sets you free from sin is the blood. That's it. Not the carcass, not the hide, not anything else. The only thing that sets you free from the guilt of the sin, from the sin that you've done, be it unintentional in this place, the only thing that helps you is the blood. That there's songs that we sing, nothing but the blood. It is so true. It is so profound. Other offerings that they had, you had food, or you had the sprinkling of the blood, the same thing. It's the same procedure. You take the animal based on the severity of your sin, based on the severity of your offenses. If you're a leader, the offense is you need to give up a huge bull. If you're a common person, you need to give up a goat. If you're a poor person, you can give a lamb. And in chapter 5, we'll deal with that a little bit more. And so God's being quite generous. But if you're a leader, if you have some position, you gotta kill this huge bull. And it's the same thing. You take it to the tent of the meeting. You place your hand on the head of the animal before you slay it, which was this representation that you're transferring whatever guilt or whatever thing that you've done, you're transferring that on the animal. So now the animal is making atonement for you. So that is handled. You still kill the animal. The blood they take and they sprinkle seven times. Remember, seven is the number of completeness. You sprinkle seven times for the guilt of the sin. But in all the other ones, you burn the fat, and some of the meat you give to the priest, some of the meat that you can actually sell, you know, and so there's some usefulness to this, but when it comes to sin, you can't do anything with the meat anything with a hide. It goes outside where they burn and where there are ashes, and you take it to a clean place and you burn that before the Lord. And what God is saying, you know, through this is really there's only the blood. The meat doesn't save you. The hide doesn't save you. The only thing that saves is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's quite a profound statement that we see that even in the Levitical laws that God is laying down with Moses, there's an intuitive understanding of what the sacrifice of Jesus is going to mean. There's a very strong reality that the only thing that makes atonement for our sins is the blood of an innocent man, which we come to. Now, let me show you something else here, okay? That's the big one, okay? So when we talk about sin offering, nothing but the blood. If you understand that, you understand the difference between this compared to other offerings. Next time we'll talk about a guilt offering, that'll be a different thing. But it's dealing with a specific sin. In other words, you can't say, God, I've sinned against heaven and earth, you know, that kind of, no. What sin did you commit? You know, what exactly are you talking about? So it's very specific, but the only thing that brings atonement is the blood of Jesus. Now, it's interesting. So he says here, the sons of Israel, if a person sins unintentionally, and if the anointed priest sins, just to bring guilt on the people, and so we're talking about leadership in this regard. The next part here, he talks about a congregation. And so this is a corporate sin. This is when we get to the book of Revelation and the judgment, this is the sin of nations. This is the sin of different peoples, where the judgment of nations is going to happen. And, you know, for a long time, I didn't really quite understand what that was like. You know, how is a whole nation judged? You know, I thought we're just individuals, but a whole nation can be judged. We see that it's happening here in Leviticus, and it's also happening you go forward. And so what happens when a nation or a group of people or a congregation sins? Well, the elders, in other words, the leaders of the congregation or the nation or whatever, comes before the Lord and offers a sacrifice as well, right? There also needs to be atonement that happens. Now, as an American, you know, I am just horrified. I mean, I'm just perfectly honest at even the last 10 years and the way that and people could say culture has shifted or whatnot, but the laws that are being passed in the United States and, you know, that's going to come to Hong Kong and Singapore and, you know, these are going to happen, especially in relation to alternate lifestyles and the defining of marriage and whatnot. And we have totally fallen astray from the words of God. As a result, guess what? Sin, judgment is going to hit nations. And so when we talk about repentance in that way, that's really, you know, what we're really dealing with in this regard. And one of the key issues, you know, back a generation before, you know, was the whole idea of abortion. I'm talking about in an American context, you know, and the nation has been suffering, unfortunately, ever since that time. And now in our generation, now is the defining of marriage, defining between a man and a woman, and that's the culture war that we're fighting right now. And now again, judgment falls on nations, you know, because we have not followed the will of God. Now you can say, well, you know, Lord, these guys, people are ignorant. They don't know your laws. It doesn't matter. If a person sins unintentionally, you know, if the whole congregation commits an error, the matter escapes the notice of the assembly, committed any of these things, and they become known. And so it's still this idea, it doesn't matter if you're ignorant. It doesn't matter if you're unaware. It doesn't matter if you didn't mean to do it. It matters is that the deed is done, and as a result, offers and needs a sacrifice. And again, the only sacrifice that is made available or is ready is the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's an amazing picture, you know, of how this thing works, this sin offering is so different than all the other ones. They have very similar elements to it, but going back, but it's the burning up of everything that's useful. That's, oh, it seems so impractical. And like I shared, it's like eating the paper bag and throwing away your lunch. It makes no sense whatsoever, but that's the weight of sin that's on our life. Sin separates us from God. Let me say it this way. Let me say it a little better. Sin separates from the quality of relationship with God. God is far and above and beyond sin. You know, our sin, God is not afraid of our sin. I don't want to give that impression. But the quality of our life in God suffers. In the very same way that if I sin against my wife, you know, I do something against her, the quality of our relationship suffers. In that same regard, when we sin before God, even though we don't sin against God, but we got to recognize every sin is against God. You know, David in the Psalm says, "To you and to you alone, O God, have I sinned," talking about when he had killed Uriah and committed adultery with Bathsheba. And he makes a statement in the Psalm. He says, "Only to you and to you alone, God, have I sinned." That wasn't true. He sinned against Uriah, he sinned against Bathsheba, he sinned against the nation, all that. But David keeps the primary focus, and really the primary was God, and he sinned against him. So every sin is an offense to God, and it affects our relationship with him. But, right, the beauty of this and these offerings, but atonement is made available to every single one of us. Right, and it's only the blood. The only thing that's going to save us is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, not anything else. And so everything else gets disposed of, everything else gets burnt up, and the only thing that's there is the blood. So let's close our eyes. Is there anything in your life right now? Anything in, maybe an easy way to do it is just pray Psalm over us. And 139 says, "Search me and try me, O God. See if there be any hurtful thing within me." And so let's spend a moment today, and there may be unintentional sins. Now, we don't have to go to the temple. In fact, there is no temple anymore. You know, and we don't have to take an animal and sacrifice it. Jesus has sacrificed himself once and for all sin. Right? The first Adam led us into sin. The second Adam atones and rescues us from that sin. And so we don't need to sprinkle the blood of the animal. His blood has already been spilled for us. But we come before the Lord. And we ask him for that forgiveness. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, right, if we confess specifically our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And so let's do that this morning. As we confess our sins this morning before the Lord, let's thank Him for the blood. Right, it's His blood that washes us white as snow. And that's precisely how the Lord sees us. The prophet tells us, even though your sins be as crimson, right, He says, you are washed white as snow. It's only made possible because of the cross. And so as we offer our sin offering before the Lord this morning, in twofold, one in repentance, the other side of that prayer in gratitude for His blood. Let's pray. Let's pray for our community and let's continue to lift up our friends that are battling cancer and going through recovery and going through chemo. And let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community that is ill, but also needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for that word of healing and that word of salvation. Let's pray for our community that's going through different illnesses. Let's pray for God's healing over their lives. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work, and let's pray for God's provision in their life. Let's go to our mission focus and let's pray for Hong Kong. And let's pray for God's hand upon the city. Let's pray for the whole Occupy movement that's going on with the students. And you may have heard last night, some of the action was averted as the government decided to meet with the students. But let's just continue to pray for peace. And, you know, no one has been seriously injured through this time. And so God's already answering a lot of prayers through a lot of churches here. Let's continue to pray for our city. With that, let's also pray for the churches here and pray for the ministries, YWAM Hong Kong. Pray for Face-to-Face, Feed the Hungry, CSW, the Korean Church. Let's ask God to continue to lift up all the churches and people that are involved in the spiritual activity of this city that would really raise up during this time. Let's pray over our missions committee. Let's pray for our leaders there and a couple of new members, James and Tim. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to lead them and guide them as we lead our church and missions. And especially as we, this month is really the month of missions or being missional as a church. And let's pray the committee would really lead our church in this focus. Let's pray for our local outreach, and let's pray for our community center, Igape, the homeless ministry, SP Lives, Freedom, Bridge, and Mother's Choice, and pray as Tim has come on, and as well as Janella, that they would really lead our charge as a church, and more doors and more connections would be made, that we can really be a church that cares and is involved in our community. And let's pray. Let's lift up our activities tonight. Let's pray for IP, SPU, GIC, the River. And we could also pray for McCain and Discovery Bay House Church. Let's just cover all the gatherings, all the meetings that are taking place tonight before the Lord. Father, we thank you for your blood, God. We thank you for your blood spilt for us, for our sins. And we thank you that you are the final sacrifice, God, the final scapegoat. And we are just so amazed by your love for us, God, that you would suffer on our behalf. That because of your sacrifice, Lord, that we are made whole, we are made clean. And we bless you for that, God. We love you, Lord. God, continue to draw us to you in everything that we do. Watch over us today, this weekend. Lord, we especially just want to lift up Cora and Andrew today as they get married. Lord, let the presence of God come. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you guys in a few weeks. I'm actually off for vacation today, And so we'll see you like in 3 weeks.